But first to roads. There were some feelings of optimism earlier this week in Lansing that the state Senate might just pass a road funding plan that the House had passed a week earlier, but then not so much. Rick Pluta, my co-host of It's Just Politics, is here, as is our weekly Thursday guest, Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News. Hello, you two.
Hey there.
Getting the band back together.
And quickly, before we get into just what exactly happened this week, let's each take 2 seconds. Is anyone really that surprised by the fact that we are still without a roads plan, Dan?
Not at all.
Nope.
Okay, I'm gonna make that a hat trick. No, we are not surprised at all. Rick, what happened?
Well, basically, you know, once again, it got bogged down in details. That last yard is the toughest. Then there's also some concern about how much of this is going to be in fuel taxes and how much of this will be in registration fees. And the House plan relied more on registration fees. Remember when some wags started calling that the birthday tax?
Mm-hmm.
That really registered. And so they're trying to sort of claw back the registration fees, maybe a little more fuel taxes.
And yet, Rick, I mean, what we're talking about is an average for a regular driver, $40 in addition to vehicle registration
plan,
fees,
yeah.
If it was the House plan. Help me understand then. I mean, my guess is if you went out and polled right now folks and said, hey, would you be willing to spend $40 a year extra for roads? Don't you think the answer would be yeah?
Yes. It's not a question of how much money. It's how you do it. And part of the idea was that a fuel tax, at least, is more incremental. And so people might not be offended that you want to squeeze the same amount of money out of people, but just what's going to, you know, make them the least unhappy. And
so,
they just thought that a $40 or $50 hit at one point might just annoy too many people.
Dan, what does this tell you? What does this tell all of us about where Republicans in both chambers are right now?
Well, it tells me they're more worried about getting primaried than they are anything else. I mean, I'm listening to these numbers you're throwing around, $40. I did a little checking. If to get a cast aluminum new replacement wheel for your Jeep Grand Cherokee would cost you $447 if you had a 20-incher. Now, if you had an 18-incher, it'd be $381. My point is, you know, this is a small amount of money here, and I think this has a lot more to do with the politics and essentially the pressure from the right, or the feared pressure from the right, than anything else. And by the way, you know, the Democrats are also know they can extract their own pound of flesh here, because their votes are likely to be needed.
And Rick, does this mean now that this latest plan is on the back burner, it seems like, or still being talked about, but certainly no votes this week? Does this mean Republicans will turn their attention back to trying to get Democrats on board?
At this juncture, Republicans are still looking to do this as essentially a Republican-only plan.
But they haven't
been able to. And they haven't been able to do it in a bipartisan fashion either. So it's failed when they've tried it both ways. So right now, the focus is still, you know, playing with those numbers on the fuel tax and the registration fee. And there's also a talk of, remember Al Gore's lockbox for Social Security?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Senate is talking about a lockbox where you'd put in $100 million or more, and that would sit there while they develop a plan to build build roads really, really good. As if they're not trying to do that right now.
Right, and we know how well that lockbox worked for President Al Gore, right, who served 2 terms. Uh-huh. Right. So, Daniel, what are you hearing right now from the business community? I mean, this is who you are plugged into, the Chambers of Commerce. I mean, they're just like hitting their heads over and over against a wall at this point. No?
Well, I think they are. There is frustration, but I think there's also a lot of political realism. I think they understand that this is part of the process. The last time I checked in with them, that was their take on this whole thing, is they're actually fairly close, and they think that something's actually going to get accomplished, maybe not by this date, but that it's going to get done. I think the other sense of frustration has to do with the governor's
mm-hmm.
office. I think we're seeing yet again the limits of the governor's ability to wield political power and to get his way with his own party. Some of the aspects of the plan that are out there are things that he doesn't support. I think he thinks that it exposes the general fund too much. He's concerned about that. I think he's taking a longer view, recognizing that revenues aren't guaranteed. And if you take too much from the general fund in this plan, you're likely to, if not have him overextended, his successor be overextended. Very similar to what Rick Rick was talking about with Governor Engler.
Well, it has been 4 years and 2 days since Governor Snyder first called on the legislature to get a roads plan done. Rick, a lack of leadership on the governor's part to get the legislature to bend them to his will?
Well, I mean, as Dan said, the governor has been unsuccessful time and time again on this and others. He really seems to have a lot of faith that he seemed to have, past tense, a lot of faith that he could simply go in and persuade people to adopt his logic. And that's not the way negotiating in the Capitol works. Remember when he was first governor, he famously said that you know, we don't horse trade. Well, they don't say that anymore.
Daniel, a little more horse trading needed?
Well, yeah, and a little more muscle, I think. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that's exposed in all of this. You know, the governor brings a business mindset, a business CEO mindset or a Harvard Business School case study mindset to what he's doing here. And if he can just persuade people and they'll listen to him, they'll accept it. They live in a different world where raw power is understood, I think, a lot more clearly than these nuanced business arguments.
And one of the things we're seeing here is, you know, the governor, if he signs this, and it sounds like he will, is that this is a lot less money than what almost everybody says is needed. And in some respects, this is just an acknowledgement that this isn't going to get done the way that it needs to get done. But there are other things that are bottled up, like the Detroit public schools, like Medicaid funding, and they're mm-hmm. not going to get done if we keep getting caught up in this roads quagmire.
And that is a fair statement, that there is now talk in Lansing, and this is not just, I think, on Rick Snyder, but also the legislature, that are we starting to see a logjam? The former Senate Majority Leader Ken Sikkema here on Michigan Radio is saying, look, this legislature's got to start getting some stuff done or they're going to start looking, you know, ineffective.
Well, I put it a little more bluntly. I would say they're going to start, people are going to start saying they can't lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the same, seen the same thing in Washington in the House. They're riven ideologically and they can't get things done. And that is not a recipe for returning to a majority in the next election.
And so then is there a certain point, though? I mean, does one sort of look, I mean, look at what happened in D.C. this past week with the import-export bank. You started seeing moderates on both sides gasp, moderates, gasp, compromise. I mean, Rick, could we? I mean, I know we talked earlier, you're saying you don't think Democrats are going to be brought back into this. But if and when post-Rhodes, are we going to start seeing that? Or are we for the next, you know, until the next election, 2016, when the entire House is up, are we going to just keep kind of seeing these stalemates?
Well, you know, there's some speculation around here that this road plan is basically evidence that Republicans are planning on Democrats taking over at some point, because there are going to have to be new taxes and fees to cover the holes that are going to be left by this.
Daniel, I think this goes back to this idea of leadership. One of the things that I often hear, you know, folks going, look, if John Engler was governor right now, the governor, you know, 18 years ago, the last time we actually got a real change, a fundamental change to the way we pay for roads, going back to this idea of primaries, that, you know, he would have brought these lawmakers into his office, sat them down and said, if you don't vote the way I want to, I'm going to have, you know, this person primary you. Have Republicans basically put themselves in this position by redistricting and only having these intra-party Republican fights instead of fights against, let's say, moderates?
Yeah, I think they have. And the other thing is, you have a governor that has a very different background and a different political personality. And Governor Rick Snyder is not going to wield the same kind of muscle that Engler did. I think
that's,
we all
not
know
relentlessly
that.
Positive.
Well put.
And does this then go into this idea of, are we starting? I mean, is it just too early to say, are we starting to see a lame duck governor? Or is that just, you know, politics talking, that we always want to say, well, you know, what's the narrative? What's coming next?
I think Rick and I would agree that the two biggest things on his plate right now are Detroit schools and roads.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And those two things would be if you accept the argument that one of the defining things so far of his entire two terms has been the Detroit bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
And I think that it was a singular achievement that exceeded almost everybody's expectations.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at what he's doing in the second term, he's not getting headway on any of this stuff. I remember talking to him right after he was inaugurated the second time, and he came in and talked to us about his agenda. And I looked at him and I said, this is all pretty small ball coming after the bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. But Rhodes was key to it and Detroit schools, and I don't see him getting traction on anything. And by the way, the Detroit school thing, they're going to own that too. They can't hide behind the fact that, oh, well, what didn't work right and we didn't really like how the emergency manager law worked in mm-hmm. Detroit. They own it. The Republican Party has, in a lot of ways, owns the situation in Detroit schools, and they're going to have to deal with it.
It's just such a difficult nut to crack that the Detroit public schools problems are a lot like Afghanistan. Many have tried to conquer it. All have failed, and that's what the legislature and the governor are staring down right now. But to your question, under term limits, the best day of a governor's second term is Inauguration Day, mm-hmm. because it's all downhill from there.
Well, lots of positive notes there to end things. Let's go have a drink after that. Rick Pluta, my co-host of It's Just Politics, and Daniel House, business columnist at the Detroit News, who joins us on Stateside every Thursday. Thanks, you two.
You bet.
You bet.